B-Pod Studios.
All right, let's get to the business at hand here. Very important that we talk about the Sixers now and where they are and the man who orchestrated this whole thing, the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, joining us, Elton Brand. Elton, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Mike? How's everything?
Everything is good, and I know everything is good with you. So I want to get into to how this whole thing comes about. First of all, the mindset that triggers this whole thing from a general manager's office and front office and all your assistants, it was evidently evident to you that this team had to be improved to contend. Can we start with that premise?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were talking, you know, last time I was on the show early on, and certain people felt we had enough then, and I said it then, like, we need more pieces. We need more. So I don't know if it's going to come within or it's going to develop, or do we have to go get it? So I felt like from the beginning we didn't have enough to contend, and we had to look at all our options. Jimmy Butler edition, I still thought we needed more. So now Tobias Harris is here.
All right. Now, when you're looking at this whole thing, and we can look along with you, but you guys are the inside. So you got, like, it's a big rock, and you got all these crevices in it, right? You needed a perimeter defender. You needed a four. You needed a backup for Joel Embiid. So how do you go about getting, like, piece by piece? What's the mindset there?
Mindset is our priority. So it's like, okay, once Joel goes out of the game, so we're top three defense in the NBA with Joel's on the court, period. We were 1-2 early in the year. Once he goes out, it plummets. We're down in the low 20s. We're probably 28th in defense. We need a rim protector. We need a big. Okay, let's focus on that. All right, Boban's available. We need more depth. So how do we get a starter level four man that can shoot threes? We need more shootings. That's for Tobias Harris, Mike Scott for the bench, Jay Minnis. So Jonathan Simmons. We went piece by piece and just put it together because we know what the team needed. We see what our deficiencies were.
All right, but it's not that easy because you have to know who's available. So how many phone calls does it take? How much time does it take to go around the league and find out who's going to fill these type of roles?
Oh, no, great point. Yeah, no, I'm so tired. No, you call everyone. You get a lot of fluff thrown at you, things that don't even make sense, people that are wasting your time. You know, I was kind of upset. I had to hang up on a few people. Like, it's just tiresome, you know, but you have to be prepared. You have to put in the work. But you talk to every team, absolutely every team. Some teams don't want to transact with us, of course, because we're running the same race. We're competing with each other, but you still even have to talk to those teams.
All right, now let's say the night of, the Wednesday night, you guys are playing, you're there, and I was at the game also, and I'm watching you. And you know, normally this is where you're hunkered down in the office. You're out there, and people are telling you to acquire this guy. There's a lot of phone activity that's got to go on during that whole time. So what kind of calls are you entertaining, and are you leaving your seat to go in the back room and talk to somebody? Like, how did that work that night?
Well, that night, yeah, so for the first half, you know, I was trying to spend some time out there just to see the game and just to reassure myself, like, this is Toronto. They have all of their pieces. We are down by 20. We don't have all our pieces. Wilson's out, JJ's sick, but still, are we going to compete with these guys when it counts? Like, I wanted to see that game firsthand, see some of their players, see their athleticism, see their talent level for myself, and then I had to go back to making the calls.
All right, so it was the final nail. You were just, like, reinforcing. You already knew it in your head, but you had to be reinforced by how they performed that night to really trigger the whole thing.
Yeah, it wasn't one night, but it was an accumulation of many things. But for certain, like, that night, I can see for sure we needed more help and more talent and more health. You know, there were some good players. Wilson's a pretty good player, but just I needed someone more dependable health-wise. Because when he played, he did play pretty well for us.
Had you been up by 20, would you have second-guessed?
No. That's what I meant. Okay. That's what I was saying. It wasn't just one night. It was an accumulation of things. It wasn't just one game that I'm going to say, all right, we need to switch this.
All right. Now here's the thing. It's been reported that you guys had a tremendous interest in Mirotić. And Mirotić does not play that night. He's got a bruised calf or whatever that are keeping him out. And Tobias Harris is playing. And it's really interesting to me, like what went on there? Were you in the negotiations with Mirotić and it just didn't work out, and then you shift to Tobias Harris? I know it's a tough question to answer, but I'm trying to get as much insight from you as possible.
No. So you have interest in a whole slew of players, so nothing ever really got close. with Miritich. Like, it was a talk, a conversation, what's available, what would you give up, that kind of thing. And then the Tobias Harris thing was the same kind of scenario. It's like, what would you give up? How would you do it? When would this happen? And you just talk about it. And Tobias was playing, and 30-plus points and 5 3-pointers-pointers and the game winner, and I thought they might have changed their mind after the game.
But it's also a precarious situation, because guys that are about to be traded, you know, you want to keep them out. You don't want them to get hurt. So, like, what's going through your mind at this point as you're making this deal with these guys? Are you crossing your fingers here?
Oh, absolutely. Like, the question was, like, this is going to happen after the game. Do you want us to sit them out? And I'm just like, no, we're not ready on our side yet. Like, he has to play. I don't want to sit a person out on a game if we're not ready to pull the trigger. So
wow.
That's how fast it happened that night.
That's interesting. So it happened, like, directly after the game is when it turned, like, it's about 2 a.m. and maybe up to 10 or 11 in on the West Coast. Is that where it happens, like, right after the game?
Yeah, it was during the game, before the game talks, and then it's like, okay, this thing's official. After the game, we're going to talk about a half hour. Let me talk to my players, let me talk to coach and let the people know that need to know. Agents, we'll get medical, we'll fly them in. But it wasn't consummated until after the game.
All right, we're talking Elton Brandy, general manager of the 76ers, who engineered all these deals to make the Sixers a more complete team. I got to ask you about the Fultz situation, like a million people have asked you. What was the breaking point where you finally said, you know what, we have to do it?
Yeah, you know, he was in L.A. I met with him. I met with his family. We talked about the business of basketball. His agent was there just to say, like, this could happen. Like, I understand your timeline because we want the best. We're supporting you. But our time will most likely change. And, you know, if he was 2 or 3 weeks away from coming back to us, it would take another week or two to get integrated. And we're trying to make a playoff push. And we're trying to make a real playoff run. And we know we dealt with last season when that happened. So that's when it was like, okay, it's time. I can get a first-round pick back. I can get a high second-round pick, probably Cleveland, the most favorable between Cleveland, Houston, Orlando, and Portland. So that would most likely be Cleveland. And another wing in Jonathan Simmons, who we believe that can help us. So that's when it was enough.
Yeah, but you also have to come to the conclusion that it's just not going to work here with him.
With us, in this environment, yes. Yep.
So that was the conclusion you came to.
That was the conclusion, a tough conclusion, because we like him as a person and we're rooting for him. But, yeah, that was the tough conclusion.
Now, there was probably another way you could have gone with, I know Wes Matthews was available. A lot of fans wanted Wesley Matthews, that you could have gotten him at the buyout situation and still kept Fultz and tried to make it work. But the value you're getting with the picks, since you had given some picks, was important to you to get some back?
Oh, yeah. No, that was very important to get the picks back. You know, 3 first-round picks and 10 second-round picks in the next 3 years. So I had to refill that kitty. And also Wes Matthews, I was speaking to his agent, and he thought that situation, he wouldn't be a rental. He knew they had money. He knew he'd have a prominent role, might even start. And that's why he didn't want to come to our team. He's like, hey, you have a better team in their eyes. You'll make a further playoff push. But we're going to go over there because they see that they feel like they can get a next contract. They were thinking next contract.
Yeah, happens. That happens a lot in the NBA where he wants to showcase them. All right, so that explains the Wes Matthews thing. The only thing that you didn't get back was technically, I know you got some guys that are going to play point guard, but you didn't get a backup point guard other than TJ. So TJ still gets those kind of minutes. A lot of people think that hampers you guys, but what's your feeling on the backup point guard situation?
You know, of course, TJ has won actual playoff games for us. We believe in TJ. You know, I call him Rocco, short for Rocky, because he comes through and, you know, when we need him to come through. Jimmy Butler has played some point guard for us. Tobias Harris can bring the ball up. We have an all-star point guard in Ben Simmons. So I think we'll figure that roll out, and we'll figure out who can play defense on the other team's point guard. I'm not as concerned there.
All right, here's the question I have to ask you about Brett Brown now, because as a general manager in a front office, you do all you can to complete your team. And I think that now everybody can kind of say the Sixers are complete enough to win the East. So does that put the pressure on the coach to deliver the East?
You know, absolutely, all of us. We all have a lot of pressure to contend and go farther in the playoffs, like deep in the playoffs. But he's very happy with where we are. And I wouldn't just say he's under pressure. We're all under pressure for this. Yep.
So the goal is, you guys are thinking you got to win the East here. This is the goal.
That's the goal. Early on, that was the stated goal. And again, we talked about it. I said we weren't there yet. So that's the goal again. But it takes time. These four top flight players are going to have to mesh, and we're going to have to figure it out for sure.
All right. Who will play tonight? How much practice time have they gotten together? What's going on with the flow of all these guys coming on the team and what their availability is?
Yeah, Tobias Harris, Boban, Mike Scott. They're definitely playing. They practiced today, like a light practice, go over some plays. They were in last night shooting. James Ennis is a maybe, depending on the physicals and stuff like that. Jonathan Simmons will most likely be out.
Okay. Elton, listen, great job, and thanks for coming on and giving us some insight.
Always a pleasure.
All right, there he is, general manager of the Sixers. So he pretty much explained everything, a lot more than I thought he would.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.